Ladies and gentlemen,
are you ready for the big show?
Are you ready?
You ready for the partner?
Go! This is the MLS Show. On the BTP Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Pitch. My name is Scott Nichols, and I'm joined today by Baz from Toffee TV and the MLS Show, and I'm joined by Adam Partington of Grand Old Team fame. So what we're going to do today, guys, on this special edition of the MLS Show, is we're going to talk about the rumours about Kyle Larin moving to Everton from Major League Soccer. Now, Baz, I think we'll start with you with this, because you're very well versed in MLS, and you know all about Kyle Larin, and you know, most importantly, you are a prominent Evertonian as well. So why don't you just let some people who are listening from Grand Old Team and some people who are listening from Toffee TV and also from Beyond the Pitch, let them know what you think as an Evertonian about Kyle Larin.
Thanks for the big build-up, by the way.
I'm glad he went to you first, Baz, because I know nothing about this fella.
Kyle Larin, yeah, he's currently playing for Orlando City in Major League Soccer. He's in his third season now, scored a lot of goals. Really, I should have had exactly how many goals he scored.
To hand 35 goals.
I was going to say, yeah, it's mid-30s, and we've only just obviously started season three. He's already scored 3 goals this season for Orlando City. Orlando City have actually only scored 4 goals, so he's got 75% of them. So not a bad stat. But yeah, he's a Canadian international, 21 years of age.
Yep.
And is quite pacey, quite mobile, strong. But I suppose areas that he's got to improve are his first touch and his hold up play a little bit, and I'm sounding a bit like, he sounds a bit like Romelu Lukaku light almost. But he's a good prospect. He looks a really good prospect, but there's still work to be done with him.
It's funny that you say that he's a bit like Romelu Lukaku, because I was actually chatting with Giles Barnes today. And
name drop.
It was a bit of a name drop, wasn't it, to be fair? But but I just wanted the context, you see. Yeah, so I was talking to Giles Barnes. So I'm talking to Giles and we're chatting. I know him from when I was in Houston, and just chatting, having a conversation. We're chatting about Kyle and we're talking about MLS. And he says, "Do you know what we call him? We call him Baby Lukaku."
Yeah, you said that to me.
We call him Baby Lukaku. And I think that bodes well for Evertonians, you know, with this news of him potentially coming. But, you know, now we know about him from who he is and what he does. I mean, you're right. Look, he's got 35 goals in 60-something appearances. He's 21 years old. Just to put that into context, Chris Wondolowski, who everybody says is who's an American international, he's the one who famously missed that open goal against Belgium, could have sent the USA through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, I think. But, you know, but he has scored. He recently scored 100 goals in MLS, Chris Wondolowski. He's widely regarded, I'm sure you'll agree, Baz, as one of the better strikers in MLS. An MLS legend, yeah. You could even say, right? Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Scored again last weekend.
Exactly. And he did. Yeah, he's absolutely right. He did. And you know, and Wondo, as they call him, didn't really start scoring goals until he was 27 years old. This guy is 21 years old. He's got 35 goals already. I said to my co-host Otis on the MLS podcast edition of Beyond the Pitch when we recorded it a few days ago, that I said to him, do you think that he could be the first 200 goal scorer in MLS if he sticks around? And we both agreed that he probably could. So his goal scoring ability is kind of undoubted, right? But I guess what we have to think about, or what you as an Evertonian, Adam, have to think about is, you know, is he right for Everton? Are you worried about, you know, because there's preconceptions about MLS, right? There's
absolutely
preconceptions,
yeah,
about the quality of the league. Is the transition, you know, can people make the transition? Knowing all that you know now about Kyle Larin, and also, I would say, given Everton's propensity for unearthing these rough diamonds, does that worry you less about these rumours? Because I know when we talked about it, you know, we've known each other a long time, and I know when we talked about it initially, you weren't Well, I wasn't against thrilled. It, when, but you weren't thrilled about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
When you said, oh, you know, looking at signing a lad from you know, the MLS for $2 million and a potential replacement for Romelu Lukaku, obviously that sets off alarm bells. Now, I haven't seen this kid, so I don't know. He sounds like he's obviously got a good record over there, and I think it does get a little bit of a hard time sometimes the MLS from English, British, and maybe right. potentially European football fans or soccer fans. But if Everton are looking at him now, and this is one thing that I would say, Baz, and Baz will probably agree with me, if he's been identified by someone like Steve Walsh, then I am willing to absolutely get on board with this, because I've got no reason at the moment to be sceptical about anybody that's identified by Steve Walsh because of, you know, his past record, you know, the likes of Vardy, Mahrez, Kante at Leicester. So if it is that Everton are looking at him and they want to take a punt on him, and it's going to be a fee of around $2 million, I think that's what you said anyway, mate. So if it is going to be around that, yeah, then absolutely take a chance. However, what I would say, we'll probably get onto this a little bit later, is I wouldn't want that to be... I wouldn't say he'd be the replacement for Romelu Lukaku if we were to lose him, obviously. But I would get on board with it. Of course I would. If he's been identified by Everton and the scouting setup that we've got at the moment with Steve Walsh at the helm, then yeah, of course I'd be willing to see what he could do.
Yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, I think Seamus Coleman is the perfect example of this, right, Bears? I mean, £60,000 from
Sligo Rovers
in the Irish League.
Yeah,
and I mean, do you feel the same way about Adam, like that Adam does about Steve Walsh, about how if he's identified this guy? And also, do you think that this is the only guy that Steve Walsh has identified? You know, I just want to go one step further. And do you think it's fair that people are a bit sceptical of Larin, given everything, all the physical attributes that he does have, that seem like they should be transferable to the Premier League?
Yeah, that's it.
We'll move on. Thanks, everybody.
It sounds like with the physicality thing there, you know, yeah. Obviously that was the second bit to my piece. So obviously, yeah, of course, then it sounds like he could adapt to the league. But Baz has seen him a lot more, so Baz will know, you know. How do you think he would fit into our side, Baz?
Well, I think firstly the Seamus Coleman thing, yeah, that's spot on. He's been an incredible bit of business by Everton. Steve Walsh, yeah, I'm like Adam. No reason to doubt anything that he's identifying. His past record is proven. I think the network he's put up at Everton now is extensive, and I think it's growing. And you see him by the names that we're being linked with. I mean, just look at Adam Ola-Luckman, who came in from Charlton in January. Mm-hmm. You know, the boy looks a player. He's out the side at the minute, but that's natural. You know, there's a lad, I'm going to forget his name, not a centre-back from City, who they're looking at bringing in the summer, another young kid, David Hare's son, has been identified at Sheffield Wednesday. So there's a lot of players who he is looking at underneath the first team to prop the first team squad up in terms of development. Where Kyle Larin is, he would not be a replacement for Romelu Lukaku in any way, shape or form.
No, not yet.
I think he'd be a work in progress. I think if Everton were to pay the money for him and bring him in. And of course, we're forgetting one big thing to this story is that Orlando City have actually got a tie-up with Stoke City. So, you know, I'm led to believe, I know Orlando City, he's now president, Phil Rawlins, I know him quite well. Mm. And he got a tie-in with Stoke City back in... He was on the show later last year, I think it was about August or something. They'd done a tie-in around that time. And so I'm quite sure Stoke have got first refusal anyway on someone like Kyle Larin. But if Everton were to get him, bring him in, it would be one where we'd have to develop him. I don't see him being ready to come straight into the Premier League. Maybe off the bench and things like that. But like I said before, he's got to work on hold-up play, he's got to work on his touch a little bit, but he's quick and he's direct and he scores goals and that. You know, if he was to stay in MLS, I'm quite sure he would score 20 goals every season for the next 13, 14 seasons. So if someone's that capable of putting the ball in the back of the net, then why not take a chance everywhere else? The other kind of little guard thing you've got to look at is, of course, Jose Altidore's experiences in the Premier League.
Right.
Didn't do well at Hull. Excuse me. Went to Holland, scored about 37 goals, I think, in Holland in the season.
Yep.
Then went to Sunderland, and then obviously went back to Toronto in a deal that brought Jermaine Defoe from Toronto back to the Premier League. So while you're scoring goals in MLS is important, it's still, can you do it over here? But then again, people would look at Landon Donovan, who me and Adam know very well, and he was a big, big success at Everton the two times he came over here, and so much so that, you know, we really were hoping that we'd be able to persuade MLS to part with him rather than LA Galaxy at the time. So
yeah. One other thing I do want to add to this, actually, thinking about the Steve Walsh thing, is you've got to remember as well, in terms of Everton still going out there and trying to identify these players. I mean, Baz mentioned the fella, the young lad at City. Does Everton still need to do that? Because when we're in this building process, so we're not quite yet, evidently, at that stage where we can go and attract. You know, if we were to sell Romelu Lukaku, to find another ready-made Romelu Lukaku, there aren't too many out there, and then attract him to Everton is extremely tough. So we've still got to go and navigate and pinpoint these players that are around,
right,
and then bring them in. So, and also we've got to think about the financial fair play stuff as well. It's not like, incidentally, Romelu Lukaku said something in an interview with The Echo where he said, you know, about how he was a little bit disappointed in how Everton hadn't quite matched his ambition yet with regards to the new owner.
Right.
But Everton have to take into consideration things like the financial fair play. So there's two things there, and if we are, you know, as Baz said though, with this Lauren kid, you know, if it's a case of us identifying him, and it's probably the direction that we still need to go in at the moment. We still need to be trying to find these little gems, because we've got other constraints that maybe someone like your club, like Chelsea, don't have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Is the Everton, while until this point, like maybe now Everton can compete with the sort of financial big boys now that you had the takeover, and you're going to get you know, the new stadium, and that will help, and I really do hope that propels Everton to sort of bigger and better things. I really do. What I was going to try and sort of talk to you both about is that, you know, MLS, Major League Soccer, has this sort of a bit of a bad reputation, but what I want to put on top of that is, do you think that it really matters what kind of reputation the league has if you're a good player? Because obviously Larin's going to come, he's not going to be the striker all the time. You know, he is going to come if he comes, and he is going to be a developmental project. But do you think that that helps a player's development more than it would staying in a league somewhere else? Do you think that being at Everton can actually develop him? Because you have an affinity with these American guys, with like Landon Donovan, Timmy Howard, you know, those kind of guys. Players like, well, even Tim Cahill from Australia. Like, those are three players from two different nations that might not necessarily have gotten a look elsewhere because of where they're from and how they came to where they were going to be. And maybe that this is, maybe Altidore. See, the thing with Altidore for me was that he was always streaky at the Red Bulls. You look at his career statistics, even at the Red Bulls, he was streaky. Right, Baz? Am I right in saying that? Would you say?
Yeah.
And then, so he's never been a guy. And even with Toronto now, he's still kind of
streaky. He's hit and miss, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he is. And for the US men's national team as well. I think everyone says he might be the top scorer one day. Well, he's already played over 100 games for him. He's only got 30-something goals. That's Emil Heskey levels of goal-scoring, people. You know. So that's all I'll say about him. But I think he's a different player, Larin, in my opinion, to Altidore. I think he's a more consistent goal scorer.
Question about whether or not though would it be better for him coming to Everton?
Like, do you think you would feel the same about Kyle Larin if he was coming from maybe not the French league, for example? If he was coming from Sochaux or Bordeaux or Troyes.
I don't know, Baz. Do you think the league matters so much? I'm not too
sure. Is it more the man and the player than it is the league for you?
I don't know, Baz. What do you think, mate? I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this.
Well, it wouldn't matter to me, because obviously I see him regularly. I understand that it's not going to be a case of he's not as he didn't excite you. I'm just going to ignore what I'm looking at here.
Sorry, the cat just popped up, and I took a picture of his cat.
Baz is talking to you about something serious, and you're getting pictures of me cat.
I just had to do it. He's peeking over the top, mate. I'm sorry, Baz. I'm really sorry.
Baz, sorry about that, mate. You know, with me, mate, you get more of a professional package. This guy,
mate. That way, yeah.
It's all right. I'll just get me coat. Hang on.
It wouldn't matter to me, because, like I say, he's not going to be coming in as the finished article, is he? I think, in terms of his own personal development, would it be better to go to Everton to develop or stay in MLS? I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? As you know, Scott.
Yeah.
Look at someone like DeAndre Yedlin.
Yeah.
Who was doing really, really well in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sanders doing really well. Done really well for USA in
great World
in
Cup. The World Cup.
And then goes to Spurs and done nothing. You know, couldn't get a game. Went to Sunderland, got better. He's now gone up to Newcastle. But should he have just stayed where he was and got better and better and better? That's the $2 million question where Lauren's concerned. Yeah.
Doesn't it depend on first of all, it depends on the character of the player and their ability, but then also it depends on the opportunities that they get. I mean, you could make an argument if we were going to sign this kid. And then, I don't know, how old did you say he was?
Sorry, 21.
21. And then we were going to sling him in the resis for a season. There's arguably that his progress would be better served in the MLS. So it depends. But then if we were going to loan him out to another Premier League club, let's say, then arguably, you know, you could say that he's going to progress. So I think it's a really tough question to answer that one, because it depends on what the nature of it his move would be.
Yeah. I do. But and if you think about it, but you know, and I'd be interested to hear both of your thoughts on this. But you know, think of the guy that you're getting rid of, and that's Lukaku. Think about what he went through. He started at Anderlecht in the Belgian league. Belgian league's not very good. It's not very good. My family is from there. My cousin will tell me all the time, the Belgian league is not good. It's not good at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a weird playoff system. It's not like a regular one. It's very strange. I don't get it. They don't get it. It's very strange. But anyway, so Lukaku comes from Anderlecht to Chelsea. He's a Chelsea fan. He's loving life. And then he doesn't get a game. And he can't get a game. So he goes to West Brom. And he scores a bunch of goals. And he goes to Everton, he scores a bunch of goals. And then he says, you know what? I need to go to a different place to move permanently, to develop. And he's developed into this world-beater striker at 23 years old. Now, I know Larin's coming to the development a little bit later in life. But that might happen for him if he moves to Everton. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe Everton loan him out to a lesser sort of Premier League team. You know, he gets some experience, he scores a couple of goals, he's more confident because he doesn't have the expectation of going to, you know, and absolutely no disrespect to the both of you, but to one of the bigger teams in the league. That Everton isn't a big team.
No, I get that. So Lukaku's jump from Anderlecht to Chelsea, I know what you're saying, would potentially be bigger
It's still a jump, but it's less of a jump.
Yeah, I get
that. Do you know what I mean?
I get that.
And also,
I mean, I wouldn't underestimate, and I think I said this to you earlier, I wouldn't underestimate the what it means to play for Everton and the pressure involved. I mean,
absolutely
Everton isn't,
not.
It's not like you're going to play for Hull. Like, you know what I mean? I was going to say Burnley then, Baz, but if I'd have said Burnley then they would absolutely 100% beat us tomorrow. So I won't use them as an example. Yeah. But there is still that pressure. But you're right to say that. I mean, the jump that Lukaku had to make from Anderlecht to Chelsea was probably a bigger one than Lauren would have to make.
I think so. And what I want to ask you, Baz, is the other thing is, why isn't it just good enough for some people to stay in MLS? Why do they think that they always have to leave? Why do they think that they have to go to Europe? Because here's the thing. Look at someone like Dom Dwyer. We already talked about Jack Harrison before we started recording.
Yeah.
And Jack Harrison, his mother said, you're in the Man United reserves. You're going to be a number. Just a number. That's it. You have almost no chance of making it because there's so many kids who don't make it. And he's one of the most exciting players in MLS. And MLS needs these players to stay, to grow, to be taken seriously as a league. And I really do think they want to be taken seriously. And I think to do that, it needs to keep people like Kyle Larin.
Yeah, what does
it? Well, it does, but you ask why can't they stay there? Well, probably money, first and foremost. You know better than anybody, than Scott, that obviously you've got the salary cap and everything else. Yep. Now, Kyle Larin isn't a DP at Orlando City. Yes, they've used that TAM to give him a better contract and things like that, but he's not one of the, you know, he's not a DP yet. Carlos Rivas is, who is not even a third of the player that, you know, Larin is. So to keep your best players, the league has, for them, from a league point of view, that's got to grow. But it's a catch-22, isn't it? Because the league's got to grow to keep the best players, but the league's only ever going to grow if the best players stay there. So it's a bit of chicken and egg. Just one other thing, you were talking about strikers as well. Don't forget Kai Kamara, who's got a good record in Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Came over to England at Norwich City, scored one goal here. Who was it against, Adam?
Us.
There you go. But the winner against us, the only goal he wants. You know,
always so, the way. Look, always to be the fair, this fella's probably best off just going to Stoke because he'll definitely get a goal against us in both fixtures. Absolutely, yeah. No, I think incidentally, mate, it kind of reminds me a little bit, Baz, of you could level the same argument at Lukaku. You could say, look, if Everton want to get to the level that the club wants to get to, then we need to keep hold of our best player or one of our best players, which is Romelu Lukaku, in the same way that the MLS, if they want to, you know, start to compete with the European leagues, then obviously, you know, they need to keep hold of their best players. But isn't it, don't you think, is that, look, at the end of the day, Europe's got decades upon decades on the United States in terms of football, and a lot more kind of tradition and culture and heritage that's associated with football on this continent and in Britain. So isn't there just an inevitable, like the same with what the Chinese are doing now, isn't there always going to be this kind of, like, you're going to have the MLS Chinese here and then you've got European leagues?
I think the problem you're going to have is that obviously the Premier League is such a big brand now, you know, and obviously in the United States now, NBC do have their coverage of it, which is fantastic. But it's in, you know, they have a lot of free-to-air channels that the Premier League goes into houses, as well as the paid package. So it's getting put down people's throats all the time, you know, and that's one thing. MLS doesn't do that, and that's the thing it needs to do, because you should be selling your own game. You'd be forgetting that. And I understand kind of why they've done it, because they're trying to turn a nation that is interested in basketball and baseball and American football are trying to turn it into soccer fans, and they're doing it through the Premier League, but potentially they need to be doing it through Major League Soccer, their own stuff, and say, look how good we are, look how good our league is.
It's true.
And it's a little bit upside down to me, but
No. I totally agree with you, Bez. I really do think, you know, there's this term that I'm sure you're very aware of, and it's the term Eurosnob, which is a term that most American soccer fans will use to describe people who say, oh, well, I don't watch MLS. I only watch European soccer. No, I'm a Euro ignoramus. I'm just a Euro moron. I just haven't watched it. However, though, Baz, last time, when I went on Toffee TV, as Baz kindly invited me on there, I had a good laugh. Baz was like, his co-host was like, oh, you know, who could we potentially replace Joel? Who could we potentially bring in as a keeper? Yeah. You know, if Joel doesn't quite cut it towards the back end of the season, looks like we're going to have to go and maybe seek another keeper out anyway. But Baz was like naming all these like players from like Germany, Spain, and it comes to me and I was like, Pickford, because that was just the Premier League and that was it. But since then, Baz, and I've tweeted Baz about this, I've started watching the Bundesliga, and actually a potential replacement for, you know, I'm doing this just to impress Baz, another centre forward we maybe could go after is the Modeste at Cologne. Had a bit of a rough style, came to Blackburn in England, didn't quite cut it, but he's been scoring some goals out there, so maybe he could be someone we could look at. But anyway, that's what I was getting to. So yeah, I have tried to broaden my knowledge, and I'm going to extend it to the MLS, lads. I'm going to pick an MLS side and I'm going to start following them, and then I'll be able to talk more fluently about it. Well, see, and here's the thing. So now I feel as though me and Baz need to compete over who we're going to convert you to.
Exactly. So
because Baz is going to go for Orlando City.
Is Adrian Heath still a manager?
He's Minnesota United now. They are terrible.
Are they? I'm not very good. I want some success, Baz. But he was a 90s kid for one, so I don't even remember 95. So I've not seen Everton win anything. So I want, maybe I'll go for New York City. I've seen the Red Bulls play.
Yeah, yeah.
You have seen, we went together. We went together. We saw to see Tim Cahill play.
There you go.
Red Bulls blow the load, mate.
Have they?
They're brilliant. They do brilliantly in the supporters. She'll get some MLS Cup and then they're like Everton.
They sound perfect.
Dallas, mate, if you want a team, Dallas are the best side.
Yeah,
Dallas is a very good team. And Otis, my co-host for this podcast for Beyond the Pitches MLS show, he used to play for Dallas Otis. He was drafted by them. So we both share. And Oscar Pereja is an incredible coach. He's a very, very... and can I tell you, one of the nicest guys that I've ever met. And, you know, he's a really great guy. And I do like FC Dallas a lot. But my first love in MLS will always be the Houston Dynamo, because they were the first time that I ever got that sort of access to any sort of players.
Right. Now,
the thing is that even though I love them... And I do love the Dynamo. I also really love the Impact, because I went
Montreal. How do they play in the MLS?
They're in Canada. They're just part
of Toronto and Vancouver.
There's three Canadian teams.
They all play in the MLS.
They do. Like Swansea play in the Premier League.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man.
There you go.
Yeah,
I know. So I like the Impact, because they had Drogba, and I love Montreal as a city. But I suppose I'll always keep going back to Houston. Then they're not doing so well, right? Well, they're doing better now. So, they went through a rough
game. Great at home.
Great at home. BBVA is a wonderful team.
Well, as you know, got engaged on Miami Beach. So, Miami Beach, very mate. I'm a romantic, mate. No messing about. No, Baz knows. Look, Baz appreciates that. Baz, but, mate, has Miami got a team? They have.
Baz, can you just tell? For Adam, who doesn't know about MLS Miami, Baz, you can describe the situation around MLS Miami right now for us.
Can I?
That's a good description of it. I hope you can now.
Listen, potentially, David Beckham. It's going to be Miami Beckham United. Is it going to happen? It should have happened by now.
It's been going for maybe 3 or 4 years now. Right. They can't find a place to build the stadium, essentially.
In all fairness, people have just got wind that David Beckham wants to buy a stadium. So land that was available for $3-5 million is now $50-70 million.
Right,
and that's the problem that they're having. He wanted a waterfront stadium, a bit like we're getting. But obviously, you can't get waterfront property in Miami for a soccer stadium. Not a chance. So
fair enough. Yeah,
it will happen. It will happen.
That makes sense. So have we got much more to talk about with Baz or not?
Well, you know,
Baz, how much time have you got, mate? Do you want to just chat about Lukaku for 10, or have you got to get off?
Go on, mate. Go on.
Yeah,
I've got about 5 minutes, and then
I'll tell you what we'll do. So here's the thing. So me and Adam have compiled some statistics here about all the players, including Kyle Aaron, that we think Everton have been linked with. We've got Michy Batshuayi. We've actually included Harry Kane in this as a comparison to other big strikers, and Chicharito.
Chicharito.
Spicy.
Who would be my preference?
He's a spicy player.
Little P.
Yeah, the little P.
Little P.
So, and when you look at it, Lukaku, first of all, beasts everybody. Him and Kane are very similar, but...
It's depressing looking at this, Baz, because potentially if we are going to lose him, and you look at this what Scott's got on the screen here now, and it compares them all, and you look at his stats, and it is frightening that we could potentially be without him next season. And I think it's one of them, as you'll know, the way Evertonians are, and there's been some criticism levelled at him, but I think we're all going to wake up the day after he leaves and go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Especially.
No? You don't think, Baz? Okay.
Let's
just really quickly wrap it up with how Baz... So both of you, as Evertonians, if it's not going to be Kyle Larin, you know, MLS legend Kyle Larin, let's say... sorry, but I mean, he may be one day. But if it's not going to be him, then who?
Go on, Baz.
Me? Who do I want?
Yeah, who do you want?
Who do you think we can get?
Yeah.
If it was me, I'd be going for Lacazette.
Right.
At Lyon. I don't think there's any question. I'd be going for him.
You would have the money.
Oh, the money's not going to be an issue. I mean,
right.
Adam was quite rightly talking about the constraints that we had, but that was kind of last season. The USM deal of sponsoring the training grounds changed it. And obviously, if we were to sell Lukaku, which I'm still not 100% sure is going to happen, because I know that Mascheri doesn't like being told what to do. And it's quite plausible that Everton will say, yeah, we'll take our chances the following summer and get $40 million for him.
We did it with Stones,
so,
right?
So exactly. I mean, Stones, he had a bit longer on the contract, but
sure.
How do you replace fit 25 goals, it's difficult. You know, 70, 80 million pounds. You know, you've got to look at who's gonna come in for him. Realistically, United, they're getting Griezmann by all counts, so they're not going to then go and get Lukaku. Chelsea, I think Morata is going to end up at Chelsea. I think he suits them much better than what Romelu Lukaku would get. So Spurs aren't going to get him. City don't want him. Manchester United,
Baz, City might not be... City really out the realms of possibility for Romelu Lukaku.
I mean, they have Aguero and Jesus.
Aguero might not necessarily hang around. That's not a definite.
We'll have Aguero then, eh, Ed?
Good shout, mate. I'm down for that.
I'm not saying he definitely won't go. I'm just saying that it's. I don't think it's as clear. What Romelu Lukaku wants and what actually happens are two totally different things. The kid wanted out a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if Everton say, well, he's on 23 goals, say he finishes with 26, 27 goals, and Everton say, right, okay, £90 million. Are you 100% sure we're going to have our door banged down at £90 million?
No, I'm not.
Scott, you're a Chelsea fan, you sold them for £28
million.
Yeah. If you pay... £80 million to get him back.
There's not a chance that I would. And it's really sad that I say that because see, here's the thing. The problem with Lukaku is that we just things, and this is something that we just don't know about Kyle Larin. You know, I don't want to keep going back to him, but I mean, it's an MLS thing. So I'm just going to say, but I don't know about Kyle Larin's propensity for big game plays. But Lukaku doesn't seem to have that. Against Man United, I was watching the other night, he was almost anonymous. And that's Man United, who was sixth in the Premier League.
That's an issue.
So is that going to be... But then on the other hand, he scored 23 goals this season, three of which against the top six, which is more than any other of the top strikers right now. So how do you sort of... I don't know how to think. Like, one week I think he looks like, you know, the next best striker in the world ever. And then the next week I'll look and think, geez, this guy's not even as good as Emil Heskey. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird. Like, he's a strange, frustrated... But it's important to remember he's only 23, though.
No, absolutely. I'm not doubting his ability.
So who would you? So we have Lacazette. Who do you think? Who would you have, Adam?
So, well, I think, to be fair, Baz, I actually think if we go and get someone like and hear me out on this, we're probably going to get Sigurdsson from Swansea. At least you're going to probably get about 7 or 8 goals from him. So you're going to maybe make up a little bit of that deficit there.
Yeah.
In terms of centre forwards that we're going to get, look, I hold my hands up all the time. You know, I'm not an expert on Europe. I'm going to lean towards Chicharito just because I remember him at United. Obviously, remember him going off to
Training, you know.
But he's at Leverkusen, and I don't know where they are at the moment in the Bundesliga. Are they Champions League or not? Because potentially it'd be getting him out of Leverkusen to come to us if we don't have. I mean, hopefully we're going to have, you know, European football next year of some sort. So I'd go for him, and then I'd potentially look at the lad. I always say he's pronounced his name wrong, but
Batshuayi.
Obviously, when he was at Marseille, was banging in goals. In fact, I wrote an article at the start of this season for a betting site tipping him as an outside. To be the league's top goal scorer. Anyway, that just shows you again, mega moron me. I know. Look at Baz; he's got his head in his hands. I've disappointed the great lord.
The problem with Batshuayi is he doesn't play.
Well, that's
so you're never gonna know because Chelsea don't see. This is the thing with Lukaku. Look at the way that Conte plays. He likes his target man to be strong. He
exactly.
Keep the ball checked. Romelu Lukaku doesn't do any of that. Listen, as a finisher, you're not going to get much better than Rom. There's no question about it. But the thing what you've got to ask yourself is a direct comparison to Diego Costa. Now, if Diego Costa doesn't score a goal, do the centre-backs know they've been in a game?
Oh, yeah.
100%. The Merseyside derby 2 weeks ago, Matip who else did they have centre back? Lovren.
Lovren
walked off the pitch without needing a shower. And that's the difference there. If Costa would have been up front for Everton would have, them two would have had the noses bloody. And that's the thing. But I think if you play Romelu Lukaku with Diego Costa, terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But it's whether anyone will take that chance. And that'll be my when Ron leaves, if it's this summer, that will be my biggest disappointment, that we didn't put another good centre forward alongside him, because we would have torn up this league, I think, if we'd have had someone with him. And I really believe that.
Yeah, I don't think Everton's that far away from being a champion.
So would somebody like Chicharito with that energy? Wouldn't he be the perfect partner, ironically, for someone like Rom then, you think?
But I think Rom likes to take the... I don't think Rom likes to take the knocks, you see. And I think, ideally, I think Wayne Rooney would be absolutely perfect. And he looks like he may be wearing Everton colours again next season. I think if you got Lukaku to stay for 12 more months and had someone like Rooney to thread the ball through to him, I think it'd make Rom a different player. If you give Rom, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, say Pele would have signed, which is what Koeman wanted, and he'd have played him next to Rom. He'd have been the one that takes the ball and flick-ons. Rom likes to run. You've seen against Leicester on Sunday, Adam, how many times did he go and play out on the right wing on Ben Chilwell? Because he didn't like to play down the middle, because Huth kept giving him a kick up the backside.
Yeah.
And he pulls himself wide. You know, one of his best games he ever had
Arsenal
against Arsenal.
I say this to people, and people forget about that game he played against Arsenal. It was his first season when he was on loan. Martinez mixed things up majorly, and we absolutely hammered Arsenal that day at Goodison. And he played on the right that day, and he was cutting in, and he terrified. He had Stephen Naismith in the middle doing the work there, and he absolutely terrified them. Who was ever playing at the back that day for
Arsenal? Monreal.
So, yeah, I completely. Interesting stuff. So,
The last thing that I'll say on this is that all the physical attributes that you guys wish that Lukaku had, I do think that Kyle Lowry has the potential to have. He doesn't mind getting stuck in. He's a big beast of a guy, right? You know, he is a big beast of a guy. I think under the tutelage of somebody way more experienced, I think he could be a great player for Everton. I think you guys are kind of on board with the idea because of Steve Walsh in general. But the last thing I want to say is there's a name that's been thrown around, and that's of Moussa Dembélé of Celtic. Now, I'm a bit sceptical of Moussa Dembélé just because he's been scoring hat-loads of goals, but in the Scottish Premier League. And he did okay in the Championship at Fulham.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is if you think that Dembélé... First of all, do you think Dembélé would be a better signing than Larin? And if so, do you think Larin could do what Dembélé's doing in the Scottish League? I'll do Baz first.
Yeah, do Baz for that one, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted us to get Dembélé when his move fell through to Tottenham. On deadline day last January 16.
Is that because it's illegal to have two Dembélés in one team?
Possibly, but it was only £5 million.
Yeah,
and we then went and spent £13 million on Umar Nias instead.
Right.
But I think could Kyle Larin do that in Scotland? 100%. He'd get 30 goals, no problem in Scotland.
Right. So I mean, and that's kind of my issue with the whole. I mean, I know you guys don't have an issue, but maybe some Evertonians might have an issue with the fact that you may... Remember, this is all rumours and conjecture at this point. So, you know, the idea of signing this guy, I don't think should be so scary. You know, I think that it's an exciting thing for MLS, but I also think it's an exciting thing for Everton to develop this player into one of their own. I think maybe he'll become an Everton legend at the new stadium. So there you go.
Who knows? We can wish.
Anyway. I think on that note, we'll say goodbye to everyone. Thank you very much, Baz, for coming on the show. Just very quickly before we go, tell people how they can follow you on Twitter and where they can find your work with Toffee TV and the MLS show.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter at THC1878 or at the MLS show or at Toffee TV. Everything's on the links in there if that's what you want to do, if you've nothing better to do.
And you would be remiss if you didn't go and check out the MLS show and Toffee TV on YouTube. It's part of the Ball Street Network, I think I'm right in saying that.
That's right, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Very high quality stuff here. You know, Baz is very intelligent, so is Ped, his co-host.
Ped's very intelligent, isn't he, Baz, eh? Ped's a smart cookie. Look at his face there.
And
there are no words.
So and then Adam Partington, thank you very much.
No worries.
Me old mucker.
No worries.
For coming on today, soft
the
lad.
Grand old team, which is my channel, is like the that poor, ugly sister. Toffee TV's the fit one, the older one, you know, that everyone looks at and goes, oh, there's the babe, and then, oh, it's a shame what happened to his sister. Has his sister been involved in a serious accident? Like, that's, do you know what I mean? So that's Grand Old Team, that's at Grand Old Team on Twitter, and then obviously on YouTube, and then I'm at Part Adam.
He's at Part Adam. I am at Scott Nichols. And Otis, who is not here, but is always here in spirit, is at OJ Earl 3. Guys, thank you ever so much for listening this evening. I hope you've been enlightened to the world of not just Kyle Larin, if you are an Evertonian, but to Everton, if you are not an Evertonian. So there you go. Thank you very much again. Good night.